Amen. Well, we want to open the Word this morning, and as you know, that today is Mother's Day. I want to share a little bit along that theme here on Mother's Day. But our theme for the year, as you know, is unashamed. And what I want to talk about this morning, if you have a look up there, you'll see I'm talking about mums with attitude. Now, I just want to explain what that means when I talk about mums with attitude, because some of you already are eyebrows have been raised there. What does it mean to be mums with attitude? And I'm not talking about what I saw not that long ago. I saw this car that I was just driving along, and this car tucking in and out, madly driving through the traffic. I thought, this guy's crazy. And then I noticed I thought it was a he, driving in and out. I noticed they had one of those little baby on board, those little stickers there, just weaving in and out like a madman. And weaving in and out like a madman and just going absolutely crazy. And anyway, but just as tends to happen, that line she weaved into ended up getting stuck. So I ended up, we got in the other lane and we just went past. And as I noticed, it was a young mum, and in the back was a little baby. And she's just going absolutely crazy. Now, she had attitude. I think she was like one of those road rage mums who had a bit of attitude. In fact, the only time I've ever been tailgated, I think, was by a couple of young ladies that were very aggressive when they were driving. And so I'm not talking about that kind of attitude. What I'm talking about is mums with godly attitude. And I really want to have a look at the Beatitudes, which are in Matthew chapter 5. So let's just turn there together. They're the attitudes I want to look at, because these attitudes really do illustrate for us what the attitudes that God wants us to have. But also I find these attitudes very much illustrated in the heart of a mother. I want to look particularly at a bit of one mother, and I want to look at Mary. We know the story of Mary and Joseph. Mary, who God had blessed and chose her that she would be the one that would bear the Christ child. And I want to have a look at her, because Mary's song, which is found in Luke 1, and we won't look at that, I'll refer to different scriptures, but it's Mary's prayer, or Mary's song, as it's titled in some Bibles. You'll notice that many, many of the elements that Mary talks about are actually found also in the Beatitudes. So I want to talk a little bit about her. She was obviously an extraordinary young lady, one that was a virgin mother. She became a mother when she was only between 14 and 16 years of age. That was the time that they got married off. She had about 7 children. We know Jesus had 4 brothers as well as some sisters. We find that in Matthew 13. She also became a widow, and she lost her husband fairly young along the way. We don't know exactly where, but we know certainly at the time of Christ's death on the cross that Joseph was no longer on the scene. And so I want to just talk a little bit about Mary and use her. Now, Mary obviously was not the perfect mother, and there's never been a perfect mother. Mary was not a perfect, flawless, sinless woman. She had her own flaws. She needed Christ. She needed to find salvation. There's no such thing as a perfect mother. I've never met one, and I never will, because there's no such thing as a perfect person. And women, mothers, are actually people. And so there isn't a perfect mother, but we can certainly learn from mothers and motherhood. And for those that are mothers or aspiring to be mothers, can learn about some principles. But for us men, we can certainly learn, because these are principles that Jesus taught for all of us. So I want to look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's just read these through first, and then we'll talk about them. It says, Matthew 5, verse 1, it says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went down upon the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" And I want to have a look at some of these aspects. When it says blessed, it means sheer bliss. That's what it means. Sheer bliss, sheer utter delight. That's exactly what the word means. And if you have a look at some of the scriptures, it sounds a little bit strange. How delightfully, sheerly blissful is it to be poor in spirit? And really what this talks about, and some people think it means people that are poor, how blessed it is to be poor. Certainly doesn't mean that at all. It's got nothing to do with physical poverty. Physical poverty has actually never really helped anybody. It's not talking about physical poverty. It's talking about a spiritual poverty. And ultimately what it's talking about is totally depending on God. And certainly for being a parent, whether you're a father or whether you're a mother, if to be a parent, there needs to be that total dependence on God. None of us have all the answers in everything in life. We're all still learning. We're still growing as people. And mothers are still learning. And there's never been a perfect mother, as I said. All have their own weaknesses and frailties. And the best kind of mother is a mother that learns to totally depend upon God and realizing that God has got to be first in the life. And I just encourage every mother here to always do that. You have your instincts of a mother. There's mother's instincts that I certainly will never understand, that a man could never understand. There's certainly motherhood instincts. But something has to be greater than the motherhood instincts, and that is a dependence upon God. And certainly Mary was one who really depended upon God. When the angel appeared to her in Luke 1:31, the angel appears to her and says, you're going to be with child. You've never been with a man, but you're going to be with a child miraculously. Power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And Mary said this. She said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. And so there's that element of being totally dependent upon God. Well, certainly that's something she couldn't do. That was something supernatural. And to be a good parent, to be a good mother, is to come into that reliance, that dependence upon God, saying, I don't have all the answers. And as parents, that's one of the things that we learn. We realize that we don't have all of the answers, and there's sometimes the circumstances you'll face where you just simply don't have the answer. Say, God, I just depend upon you. Or this situation is beyond me. It's beyond my own strength, my own wisdom, and for the mothers, for even their own instincts, which are so strong and so powerful. But there comes to that place of being totally dependent on God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and that really means dependency upon God. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This sort of sounds like a bit of a contradiction. How wonderful, blissful it is for they that are mourned. And that's literally what he is saying. What a wonderful state it is. And really, again, what this is talking about, it's coming to the point of acknowledging that in life that you really don't have all the answers. And certainly we don't do that. We don't have all the answers. And really it's talking about having a heart that is soft and a repentant kind of heart. Blessed for those who mourn because they realize that they in life they don't have all the answers, that they do make mistakes, that they've stumbled in life, that all of us, we sin. And even as parents, we can make mistakes, we can do some things. And knowing that we sometimes get it wrong. And mothers do that. Fathers do that. Mothers do that. Sometimes they make the wrong decisions with good intention and good heart, but they can make a decision. And sometimes, as parents, we get it wrong. And sometimes mothers do make a mistake. They will get it wrong sometimes. And even Mary was one who really so much was trying to do everything for this wonderful gift and privilege of bringing up the Lord Jesus Christ. She got it wrong sometimes. She was a little bit pushy. There's a story in John 2. We know at the wedding of Cana. And there's this huge embarrassment for the people that were running this wedding. And so Mary just got a little bit pushy, trying to push Jesus along. And he says in John chapter 2, verse 4, he says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And so Mary, she really overstepped the mark a little bit. And as parents, sometimes we can do that. Mothers can sometimes do that. It's hard for a mother sometimes to let go, to know when is the time to let go, when does the boundary line fall for a mother to do that. Fathers, I think, seem to find it a little bit easier, but for a mother, it's so much harder to come to that point. And sometimes they do overstep the mark, and certainly Mary, who was a great mother, but she also, not a perfect mother, she overstepped the line there. And Jesus said, dear woman, just said it nicely to her, tenderly, dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. But also a mother might mourn because our children will sometimes go through things that we don't want them to go through as parents, as a father. There's things that your children will go through as parents. Our kids will go through things that we don't want to see them go through and suffer. And certainly, again, that's something that was prophesied and actually obviously happened to Mary. Luke 2:35 was prophesied to her by the angel who said, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And there was nothing more humiliating. We're talking, as I said, Mary was a mother, and she was one who really was unashamed, because when she had to come back, when she was impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit with child, she spent some time with Elizabeth, and then she went there up to the time of coming birth. She had to face all the public humiliation of being this young pregnant mother, and she wasn't married to a husband, hadn't been intimate with him, but all the scandal of that. But she stood and was unashamed in those things. But there was this thing about the pain that would one day come upon her heart. And she certainly knew the pain. She knew a huge amount of pain when she saw her oldest son, saw the Lord Jesus Christ, saw him crucified upon the cross. And it's taught that was about the sword that would pierce her own heart. And sometimes our children will suffer harm. They'll go through things, and for a parent, and certainly will affect a father, but there's something about a mother's heart, and it can be like a sword that goes through and pierces even into the deepest place, even into the soul. But there's a promise of God in that. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Because there's a comfort, even as a father or a husband trying to comfort his wife, there's a level of comfort they can give, but there's only a comfort that God can give, who knows intimately and deeply the heart of every struggle. And I just praise God for that. Whatever your struggle, and some of you may be going through struggles today, there's a promise for you that they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God knows your struggle. He knows your heart. And whether it's over your children, and maybe it's dreams that you had for your children, things and plans, things that you thought were going to happen, and this was what was going to happen, this was where we were going to go, this was what was going to be, and some of those things. Well, the Lord says, no, look, I'm going to comfort you, I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to help you. And I know God will touch people's hearts even today. It says, blessed are the meek in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And really what this is talking about, it's been that heart of being gentle, to be tender, but also humility. And I certainly see that heart of tenderness in mothers. And some people think that meekness is weakness. Totally different. It's nothing to do with being weak. To be meek is to have incredible strength, but to know tenderness. It's strong tenderness. It's strength with tenderness. And I just see that in mothers who will fight for their children. And if you want to upset a mother, you have a go at her children. You'll hit a nerve that was you did not even know existed. There's a little button there, and an instant instinct rises up, this protective heart of a mother that rises up to protect. So there's this credible strength there, but with that strength comes an incredible tenderness. And that's the heart that men, we're supposed to have that too, guys. This isn't just for ladies. Jesus was giving this to men and ladies. And we need to have that heart of meekness, that tenderness, gentleness, and a humility. That's what it's strength, but comes forth with tenderness. And certainly that is the heart that God wants for all of us. But certainly for mothers, that's such a precious, precious thing in mothers. That softness, that tenderness, that humility, that nurturing. In Mary's song, she says in Luke 1:48, she says, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. And Mary certainly was one that had that humble heart, a tender, soft heart. And I just see that in mothers, and I honor that and commend that in mothers, that tenderness that is in a mother. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, you won't have this on the screen, but it talks about the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And there's something very precious, and I honor that in mothers. And if you're a mother, or if you're wanting to be a better mother, have that strength, but never forget that tenderness. It's so important, that humility, and it's such a wonderful aspect. But also for us men, learn to be meek. It's strength with tenderness to know that and to walk in that. That's what meekness is. Jesus says, I'm meek and lowly and mild. And he wasn't weak. He was physically a very strong man, but he also knew tenderness. It says in Matthew 5:6, it said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because there's a promise with that. It says they will be filled. And certainly every parent, but mothers also, particularly mothers, so much want everything, the best thing for their kids. And they will sacrifice anything for their kids. And you see mothers, you know, that they're serving the meal, and maybe the meal hasn't stretched quite as far as that they thought it was going to stretch. Well, you find that there's everyone else has got a nice serving, and there's mum with this tiny little bit on the plate. Because a mother will do that. They'll make the sacrifice because they want the very best for their children. And the very best thing that any mother or any parent can do is to give them the knowledge of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most precious gift. And to lead your children in the things of God. There is nothing more important than that. And to lead your children in that way. To lead them in those things of God. And don't just let them work it out for themselves. Lead your children. Show them the way. Teach them. So important to do that. And if you want the best for our kids, the best gift for kids is to give them a godly life, to teach them the things of God. Now, ultimately, they've got to make their own decisions. Ultimately, they'll make their choices. And sometimes that sword that pierces the soul is when they make the wrong choices. We can't make them for them. But we can do everything that we can to give an environment that will lead them and guide them in that way. Ultimately, they make their choice. But the best gift we can give them. And if you've had children that some parents struggle, and it's a mother's side. I know my mother struggles in our own family with my younger brother that's gone off the rails and how hard that is for her. But I know that she's faithfully prays for him all of the time, never stops praying for him. And I know, again, mothers will do that. They'll keep praying. And keep praying for your kids. Pray for the things of God over your children, because God is faithful, and never is a prayer wasted when we cry out for God and for him to work in our lives. And so it's really important that we do that. We want the best for our children. In Mary's song, Luke 1:53, she says, "He has filled the hungry with good things." And there is that promise that if we keep crying out to God, God will hear our cry. He hears our heart. We want to put him first in our lives as parents. And remember, parents, you model that for your children. You're the model that they look to. So model hunger for the things of God. They'll look at you when you worship. They look at you, and grandchildren will work. And every one of you, even if you're not a parent today, the young children are watching you. They watch how important is God. They look at you and see how you worship. You're disconnected. Gee, maybe God isn't so important. Our example is so important. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for your own sake, but also for the next generation. Have that hunger for them. Want the very, very best for them. And there does come that time, as I mentioned, where a parent and a mother needs to let their child take the path that God wants them to take. And Mary had to let Jesus go along the path that he wanted to. You know, Mary was trying to cling there. This tells us the story in Matthew 12 when Mary and the brothers were all trying to talk to Jesus. He was there ministering. And some really hard words that Jesus said. And they said, "Look, your mum's out there with the brothers trying they wanted to see you." And Jesus then said, "Well, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they're my mothers and my brothers." And that would have been hard for Mary to hear that, to say, Jesus is saying, "No, I've got to really pursue what God has for my life." But if as a parent that we've been hungering for the things of God in their life, there is that point where they need to be left alone to pursue what God has called them to do. Matthew 5:7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And that's certainly a heart that God wants us all to have, but certainly I see modeled so well in the heart of a mother, the heart to forgive. A tender heart, but a forgiving heart that just seems to be able to forgive when others can't seem to forgive, but just a heart just to love and to accept and to forgive. And I just see that modeled so much in the heart of mothers. And I just encourage every one of us, don't let anyone have anything in any relationship against other people. Within your own family, don't allow that. You can't have that. Whether it's with a parent with children or children with parents, you can't have that. You can't allow that. We need to make sure that we have that forgiving heart. As it says, "Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Hands up if you want to be forgiven and you want shown mercy. Remember, Jesus says, if you do not forgive, you also will not be forgiven. It's quite strong words that Jesus said. And so that's the heart that we want to have. And we see that in mothers. You know, sometimes as a father, we might get stroppy with the mother will come in and say, "Look, it's okay. Look, just," and it's just that forgiving heart. And it's such an important heart, that merciful heart. And there's a promise about being shown mercy. In Mary's song, she says in Luke 1:50, she says, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." And so it's so important to have that merciful heart. And there was a situation where Mary got quite upset with Jesus. And they were going off down to the temple. They'd gone there, that they had to go to Jerusalem. They'd gone there on the way back. And they're all going back, all the family, a whole lot of them just walking along, quite a long walk. And as they're going along, and you know, the kids are all running up and down, talking with them, having a great old time. And anyway, it gets to the end of the evening, and they come around, and Joseph says, "Oh, where's Jesus?" And Mary goes, "Well, I thought he was with you." No, I thought he was with you. And they suddenly realize, he was with the other relatives. And they're looking around, and where's Jesus? They've walked for a whole day thinking Jesus was with the group of them, with all the relatives, and among them somewhere, Jesus isn't there. So Mary, as a mother, "Where's my baby?" Her baby's about 12 years old now. But anyway, her heart immediately goes there. So they go there. They go back to Jerusalem and they spend 3 whole days looking for Jesus. 3 days. Now, most mums are going to be pretty distraught. I remember a time when the kids were little, actually, when they had the Bring Back Festival, and we lost Joshua when he was only little. Joshua's 15 now. He's about 1.5, 2. They had a little thing. All the kids sat down in a big circle, had an activity. We're all sitting there watching. All the kids got up. He's gone. Where is he gone? He's just disappeared. We thought, how did that happen? All the kids are there. He's among there. We're just back here, all the parents watching. All the kids stand up, run off, and he's gone. And we just couldn't find him anywhere. We're walking around anywhere. Anyway, we found him. He was just in front of the drummers, this big drum display, and he's having a great old time. Thought it was fantastic. But that was just a little while, maybe about half an hour we couldn't find him. And you run around. After 3 days, they couldn't find Jesus. And Mary finds Jesus, and she comes up to Jesus, and she says this. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And they're quite frantic after 3 days not being able to find him in a big city of people looking everywhere. And so there's the exasperation of a mother, why have you done this to us? Where have you been? But if you read a little bit further on, it talks about they're quite astonished when they found him sitting in the temple just listening to the things of God. And he says, "Where else did you think I'd be? I'm in my father's house. I'm learning the things of God." And it says that others were astonished at the wisdom that Jesus was displaying and the answers that they were giving. But see, Mary wasn't angry at him in a huff. She was just exasperated. But because if you read a little bit later on, it says there that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. That's the second time in Scripture it actually uses those words. She's treasuring up all of these things. So she didn't go home angry. Some parents were like, "You silly kid, you do that to me again." And da-da. She wasn't like that. And it was the heart of the mother was to forgive. She actually treasured that as something precious, that her son was so hungry about the things of God, and she treasured that in her heart. So second time it said that in Scripture. First time was when the angels had come and made these incredible pronouncements about Jesus, and she treasured that in her heart. And again, when she saw the heart of Jesus, she treasured that. And so there's a heart of a mother to do that. I don't know it doesn't really tell us what Joseph's reaction was or what happened there, but the heart of the mother is always to be merciful and to be forgiving. It says in Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I really see characterizing the heart of the mother is that they always want to believe the best for their kids. They always want to believe the best for their kids. And sometimes if the kids do something wrong at school and the principal rings up the mum and says, "Little Johnny, he was a naughty boy at school today." And the mother says, "Not my Johnny. Wasn't him." And because mothers always want to believe the best. They always want to believe the best for their kids. They always want to see that. But that's is a precious thing. That is a precious thing, always to believe the best. And we're actually taught that. That's for all of us, to always believe the best, always look for the good, look for the best, and meditate on the good things. The Scripture says, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is worthy of praise, to think about, to meditate on those things. And I see that in the heart of the mother. They always want to believe the best for their children. And as I said, I mentioned that, how Mary treasured those things that were said by the angel, Luke 2:19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, wanting to always believe the best. And that's something that I really see in the heart of mothers, always wanting that. And that's something that God would have for all of us to do that. And Mary's song, she says in Luke 1:51, "He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. So those that are proud, those that are trying to do their own thing, she says he's scattered those, but those who want to believe the best for God is so important. Believe the best with a pure heart. And that's so wonderful. There is that heart of giving the second chance that we see in the heart of the mother. And certainly that's God's heart to us. Without his grace, where would any of us be? Wanting to believe the best. And we need to want to believe the best in each other. If you hear somebody talking about someone saying something, you don't want to listen to gossip about it. You want to believe the best on them. And that's our heart. Certainly the heart that we see in mothers. It says in Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And ladies, yeah, mums, you get to be sons of God. So congratulations. We're all sons of God, the scripture says. Us men get to be the bride. You also get to be sons of God. But it says, blessed are the peacemakers. And one of the greatest things that I really appreciate about mothers is their ability to resolve conflict. Because where there's more than one child plus two child makes conflict. Kids will do that. Kids being kids. They're not bad kids if there's conflict amongst children. They're just kids being kids. It's a part of actually them learning and developing and growing up. In fact, if they never had a conflict among them at all, they'll probably end up in the rest of their life struggling because they won't know how to deal with it. So part of the process of growing up as a child is to have conflict, know how to cope with it, how to manage your temper, not to bop them on the head or not to take the toy because it was mine and I saw it first. All of those things are an important part of growing up. But mothers have a great role in their ability to resolve conflict and are great peacemakers. And certainly I believe Mary would have been a great peacemaker. It says in John 7:5, it says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Now just imagine, you've got Jesus in his ministry, his own brothers didn't believe in him. So imagine the conflict that would have created. They would have been talking maybe about Jesus. Oh, look what he's done. There he is. He thinks he's a superhero again. Off he goes. And Mary would have heard those things and she would have said, guys, you know, she would have had to sort them out. They may have even had times, there was certainly that time I mentioned where they went to sort Jesus out, come on, pull his head in. When he was out there, they went there to get him and tell him to come back when he was out there ministering because they didn't believe in him, the scripture tells us. And I'm sure that Mary would have had to resolve some conflicts. Not Jesus, because he was without sin, so he wouldn't have been getting angry. He wouldn't have lost his temper or whatever else. But I'm sure those brothers would have at times been trying to have a go at him because they just thought he was crazy. James particularly thought he was off his tree. And so there would have been opportunity for conflicts there, not Jesus fighting back, because the scripture tells us clearly that Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that, and he never sinned. But I'm sure that Mary would have had to step in there with these brothers and say, hey guys, step back. You don't know what you're doing here. And it's part of the role of a mother is to resolve conflict. But because mums do that so well as fathers, you can opt out of that, but you can't. Fathers will do that. They'll just see the kids are playing up. Oh, mum goes sort it out. Any father that does that is totally abdicating his responsibility as a father. Mothers are fantastic peacemakers, but ultimately fathers, you bear that responsibility to sort the kids out. Mums are very good the way they deal with it, but authority needs to come in, and fathers. So don't abdicate that just because a mother is very good at resolving conflict, it doesn't abdicate your responsibility as a father to step in and to deal with things. But learn a lesson in how you do it. If you don't know how to do it, sometimes guys will step in with anger and that's it, that's enough, bang, 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 bang. Don't even find out what the issue is. Don't even know what the upset is. But a mother will find out, well, what's going on? And so fathers, learn that from a mother. Learn to find out what is going on before you jump in and make your rash judgment. But don't just leave it to the mums. It's something we've all got to be peacemakers, and that in every relationship. We are the peacemakers, the scripture says, with our children, with our parents, with our brothers, our sisters, our relatives, with our Christian brothers and sisters. Blessed are the peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Its responsibility is on us to be the peacemaker. And there's a promise with that. If we are a peacemaker, we truly are sons of God or sons and daughters of God. Finally, it says in Matthew 5:10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One of the things about being a parent is that sometimes we're not always treated fairly by children. They don't always treat their parents fairly. They don't always treat their parents as they deserve. heart of parents that sacrifice so much, they give so much, do so much, but not every child, unfortunately, will see that and not always treated as they deserve. And sometimes children will cause pain, they can cause heartache. But we've always got to remember that, God's heart is always for the children. His heart is for them. And even when parents are faithful and the children aren't, maybe some parents here, you've had children that have rebelled and turned against you. You've suffered the heartache of that and not always been treated fairly the way that you've deserved. Well, that's where we really need to come to that point and saying, God, this is where I get back to where I started, depending upon you. Because I'm doing everything I can here. I've done everything I can. And I've been merciful and I've wanted the best and I've tried to believe the best and I've tried to bring them up in the ways of God and been tender and tried to... I've made mistakes and I've admitted those mistakes. I've tried but ultimately it comes back to depending on God. And some of you may be in that situation today where it's a little bit difficult. Mother's Day is not such a happy day because of a struggle that you have. And there's good things in some ways and maybe part of it is a struggle. But it can happen. But that's where the only place to go on that is to say, God, I just go back to you in this because I've got nowhere else to go. I've done everything that I can. I'm not a bad mother. I'm not a bad parent. I've done everything that I can. And Lord, I just have to depend upon you. I've done the very best I can. And I haven't been perfect because there's no perfect mother. I've never been a perfect parent. I've done the very best I can. And Lord, I'm just depending upon you now. That's all I can do. Mary found it tough because it was certainly when she was with child, the first thing they had to do was flee for their lives because they didn't want to see Christ, the Christ child, killed. They fled off and had to run away to Egypt and had to escape. But there is that time when we just have to hand our children over to the Lord. Mary, who was one that, who actually stuck with the Lord and walked with him. Christ was the perfect child. She wasn't the perfect mother. She went through her struggles. But she was very, very faithful. And even at the most painful point of seeing her son, Jesus Christ, up upon the cross and to see what the brutalization that had happened to his physical body, the humiliation that had happened to him emotionally, the desertion of all the friends and others that supposedly were so dear and so close that denied him and fled, and his mother heartbreaking as the sword piercing the soul, seeing him up there. Ultimately, she just had to allow him to go into the hands of the Father and allow God's plans and purposes to be come through in his life. And I think one of the most precious things is when Jesus is on the cross and when Mary is totally distraught and heartbroken, Jesus so tenderly says to Mary, Mary, here is your son. And to John, she says, John, here is your mother. And he makes sure, Jesus made sure that his mother was looked after because such was her heart as a mother. And she was not ashamed at that time. All the others had run away, but she stood by him. He was treated like a common criminal. But we know that he was without sin, and we know that he died for each and every one of us. And you're here today, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Know that Jesus did die on the cross for you, that he died in your place, in my place upon the cross, that you can have the promise of eternal life. You just have to come and give your life to him, accept him and say, Lord, I accept that sacrifice that you made for me in my life, and then know that promise of eternal life. But these are some of the attitudes that God wants us to have, that we depend upon him. Some of the things I saw in the life of Mary and I see in mothers, that we depend upon God. That sometimes we do mourn because our children do suffer harm. And sometimes we get it wrong, and mums will get it wrong. That heart of humility that God wants all of us to have, that meekness, which is not weakness, that gentleness, that tenderness that we see so much in the heart of mothers. Mothers that want the best for their children. And the very best that any of us can want is the things of God in our lives and the things of God in our children. What is more precious? To be merciful, to be forgiving. The heart of a mother is to do that. But we all have to have that heart. No excuses, no exceptions. We have to have that heart to forgive. And it says, for those who are merciful will be shown mercy. We all want to have such a heart. To be pure in heart, always wanting to believe the best and believe the best. Even if you see your kids going, say, Lord, whatever I see happening, which may not be what I believed or thought was going to happen, Lord, I still claim the plans and purposes of God over my children. Never stop praying for your children. Never forgive. And I don't have to tell mums to do that because they won't. A mum will keep on praying for their kids and always do that. Believe the best, claim the best, proclaim it over their lives. Be the peacemaker, one that resolves conflict. You see things happening, get in there, resolve it, but don't abdicate that. Guys, just because the women are so good at it, men, you need to be, the onus is on us, in our families, in every relationship, to be the peacemakers. Yeah, and there will be times where we're not treated fairly, and to understand that, not as we deserve, but again, that's where we come back to really relying on our Lord. So let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for us this morning. Those attitudes are things that God wants all of us to have. But I just want to honour mothers this morning who model those. And as we look through those things, you might say, well, gee, I've got a long way to go on some of those. Well, that's fine. You be the best mum you can, the best grandmother you can be. And us men and those that are just younger ones that are not parents at this stage, those things, we still need to have them in our lives. And we can look to that example. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you now. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your perfect love that is for each and every one of us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your heart is here for us now. Father, I pray, Lord, for any mothers particularly, Lord, that may be struggling this day. Lord, when we read the scripture about the sword piercing the soul, maybe in some way, Lord, that they've felt that in their own heart. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you lift them up this day. Father, I pray, Lord, that promise, Lord, that you will comfort those who mourn will be upon them this day. And Father, we just dare to believe, Lord, your plan and purpose, Lord, for every child, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we declare your purposes over each child. Lord, those that have gone away, Lord, or gone off the rails, Lord, we proclaim your plan, your purposes upon their lives. Lord, we're not surrender them. Lord, we're not see them handed over, Lord, but we will keep them, Lord, and keep them in prayer. Father, I honor the mothers who pray so faithfully, Lord. Let the husbands stand alongside them and pray faithfully, Lord. And as a church, we pray, Lord, for those that have gone off, Lord, that they will come back onto the course. So we pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help us, Lord, to be better parents, Lord, the men to be better fathers, Lord, and for the mothers to be better mothers, Lord. But ultimately, Lord, we can only do our very best, Lord, and we rely upon you. Lord, strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen the mothers, Lord. Help them to be better mothers. Lord, help them, the men, Lord, to be better fathers, Lord. Help us to be better parents. Lord, help us to rely upon you, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, to just cry out, Lord, to become a mother, Father. I pray, Lord, that you just touch them. Lord, that you do a miracle, Lord, where miracles need to happen. Father, we just rejoice again, Lord. We hear the miracle of Lena. Father, Lord, the little precious gift, Lord. And we claim for those, Lord, that are crying out for motherhood, Lord, that we stand with them. Father, that you do miracles, Lord, where miracles need to happen, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. And Father, help us, Lord, to walk, Lord, with these godly attitudes every day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.